Well, if you have your Bibles, I would like to invite you to take them and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30 this morning. 1 Samuel 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, as we stand together. I want to read to you verse number 6 in 1 Samuel chapter 30. The Word of God says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." You may be seated. If you were to read of David's life here in the book of 1 Samuel into chapter 30, you will see that David has lived a very eventful life, to say the least. While we love to read of the account of David's great victory against Goliath in chapter 17, it was really that victory, that fight, that set him on the run from King Saul for years. And we find this truth clearly recorded for us in 1 Samuel chapter 18, beginning in verse 5. I'll read it. And the Bible says, "And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, 'Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s.' And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, 'They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom?' And Saul eyed David from that day and forward." King Saul was filled with uncontrolled pride, and he sought to kill David on multiple occasions after this instance with Goliath. And while David strived to maintain his integrity as he fled from the life of King Saul, it did not come without discouraging times. David knew what it meant to be greatly distressed. And this is where we find David in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And from this passage in 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 6, I want us to see three realities about God's servant David. The first being this: see David's condition. See David's condition. The Bible says that David was greatly distressed. And notice how the Holy Spirit drives home the reality of David's condition in this verse. The Word of God does not say that David was somewhat sad. The Bible does not say that David was slightly bothered. It does not say that David was to some extent uneasy. No, the Word of God does not miss a word when it says that David was greatly distressed. To give you a picture of his distress in a metaphor, it was as if David was confined to a dark dungeon with no escape. This is the measure of David's condition. He is deeply distressed. He is altogether discouraged. And what is the cause of David's condition? Notice it there. "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved." And to shed some light upon the cause of David's condition, we must read it in its full context. So let me do that by reading from verse 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and all the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. What was the cause of David's condition, of his distress? It was this. The Amalekites, the enemy of God and the enemy of the Jews, invaded Ziklag, where David and his men were living at that time. They kidnapped the women and the children. They burnt the city, all while David and his men were gone. And because of this, the people were grieved. And that word grieved in the Hebrew simply means that the people were bitter. They wept all the tears that they could weep. Mourning over the loss of their possessions, mourning over the loss of their women and their children being taken from them as they were gone, and now being so filled with distress and so filled with discouragement, it began to boil in their heart and they had to blame someone. And so they pointed the finger to their leader, David. And that's what people often do when they allow distress to come to an uncontrolled point. They don't like to blame themselves. They don't like to look to the Lord. They want to blame somebody but themselves. They're so self-consumed that it's everybody else's fault. And that's where we find the people, David's people. And so understand the context. David, we could read it as this. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were bitter. After lifting up their voice and weeping, their bitterness passionately boiled up within their hearts to point where they desired to take out their frustration, and it was upon their leader David by plotting for his death. And surely, this is a just cause for David to be distressed. He is carrying the burden and responsibility of leading a multitude of men. He is mindful of his own weakness and his own failures. He is like the other men, grieving over the loss of his family and possessions. And now he is downcast because his own friends, his own acquaintances, want to take off his head. Put yourself in David's shoes. You would be distressed too. And though a deep despair visited the heart of God's servant David for a time, he did not remain in this dark, discouraging dungeon of distress, did he? No, for the Bible tells us that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. First, we see David's condition, and he is filled with stress. Number two, we see David's consolation, that is, David's comfort. And what was it? What was it in this dark, deep, discouraging time that encouraged David? We read these wonderful, glorious words that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And it was the Lord who was the source of David's encouragement. And who is the Lord that David should encourage himself in him? The Lord is God Almighty. The Lord is the God of heaven and of earth. He who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The Lord is the eternal King of kings and Lord of lords. The Lord is He who was and is to come, the Almighty. The Lord is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and He is the all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful, sovereign Spirit. The Lord is abundant in mercy, limitless in grace, and unchanging in love. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He cannot change, He cannot lie, and He will not break one promise in His Word. For the Bible says that the promises of God are yea and amen. And so David is casting himself upon the character of his God. And all who know their God will do the same through discouraging times. David encouraged himself, not in others, but in the Lord. He did not encourage himself in his friends, for they wanted to kill him. He did not encourage himself in his possessions, for they were burnt. He did not encourage himself in his family, for they were taken. He only had one place to run, and that was to the throne of grace, where God Almighty dwells. David's comfort was in the Lord. But I want you to see, don't miss this one word. David's comfort was in the Lord, his God. God was not an invention of David's imagination. God was not a mysterious power that he could not know. God was his God. God was David's heavenly Father. How was it that he belonged to the Lord and the Lord belonged unto him? David became the child of God the same way men, women, boys, and girls become the children of God today, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not be deceived, dear friends, to think that David was reconciled to God any other way but by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let any other false teacher beguile you or deceive you to think that David was the child of God because David was a Jew. Don't let any other teacher tell you that David was only the child of God because he offered sacrifices to God. That is a work salvation, and that gives two gospels in the scriptures when my Bible tells me that there is only one gospel and one God. Though there is Old Testament and New Testament, it is the same God, it is the same gospel. And so David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. It was a personal God, and it was a personal relationship with this God through the Lord Jesus Christ. How are we saved today? But by looking back to the cross and understanding all that Christ did for our sins. By faith, we look back and we trust that His blood is sufficient. And so David, he would look forward to the cross and he would trust in the coming Messiah and His sacrifice, and that He truly would become sin for us, that He would bear our transgressions, that He would be smitten, afflicted, and He would be the Lamb of God who would take away the Lamb or the sins of the world. How was it that David belonged to God? It was through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was this God, the one and only true and living God, the God of the Bible, that David was encouraged by. And he encouraged himself in God as God's child. I think we forget this, don't we, when we're going through trials. I think we forget that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. We become so consumed with the circumstances of life that we think God is this mysterious being that is impersonal. We become agnostic. And we may even in our mind and thinking think, yes, I believe God created this all, but that He can be known, I'm not so sure. rest assured by this passage, it is teaching us that you and I can have a personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I can have a relationship with Almighty God. Though our sins have separated us between us and God, it is Christ, the living way, it is Christ, the door, who has joined together that union that was once lost. And so I might ask you this morning, is Almighty God your God? Do you truly know Him in your heart and in your life? Or is He simply the God of your parents? Or is God simply the God of your pastor? Or the God of your spouse? Or the God of your friend? Or the God of your coworker? Is God your God? Does God dwell in you through the person of the Holy Spirit? And do you have the assurance that you are His child? If not, you can. You can know. You can know for sure. And that's why Paul and Timothy says, or that's why John, 1 John says, behold, what manner the love of the Father has shed to us. God is our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can know Him and commune with Him. And He can be your God too, if you will this day repent of your sin and trust only in Christ. And notice how David did not respond to his distress. David did not respond to the bitterness of his people by retaliation, did he? And David could have said, all right, you're distressed, I'm distressed, let's add fire to fire, and let's have our own battle. He did not hit back with words. He did not retaliate to those he was leading. He did not retaliate to those whom he loved. He did not respond by forsaking his responsibilities as a leader. He did not respond by forsaking his responsibility as a Christian. He maintained his integrity and he sought the Lord his God. And he did not respond to this discouragement by forsaking the Lord like Jonah and running far from the presence of God. And while others remained grieved, David made a willful choice to seek the Lord his God. Listen to me, church family. While others may remain in their distress and their discouragement, you may help them for a time, but there has to come a place where you say, I am going to serve the Lord and seek Him whether anybody joins me or not. And David made a willful choice. I'm seeking God in my discouragement. And they can remain in their bitterness and they can have a little pity party if they want to, but I'm seeking the source of all comfort, and that is God Himself. How are you responding to the difficulties of life? The distresses that God sends your way. Are you retaliating? Are you pointing the finger and blaming it on others? Are you forsaking God, giving up your God-given duties and responsibilities? You're out of the Word. You're not praying. You don't come to church as often as you know you should. You're not seeking godly counsel. Are you avoiding help? How do you respond? Many people who live in a continuous state of distress, they respond in two different ways. They either run from the Lord or they run to the Lord. They allow their trials to defeat them or to grow them. And many people who live in a continuous habitual state of distress are there for two reasons. Number one, they truly don't know the Lord. If there is something where they remain in a dark, discouraging pit for years and years and years, and there's no hope, there's no joy, there's no peace, something is wrong with their soul. If we read all of Scripture, we will understand that the testimony of the men and women who were used of Almighty God were men and women who went through great trials, the great persecutions, great fires, but they kept their eyes on Jesus Christ and they fulfilled all His holy will. And if somebody lives in a continuous state of distress without seeking God and without leaning upon Him, they do not have the peace that passes all understanding. They do not have the joy unspeakable and full of glory that the Scriptures speak about. They are without God, without hope. And though they profess to know God with their lips, their hearts are far from God. It's true. And though there may be seasons of backslidings for a Christian, and we may be so bombarded with the distress and the discouragement that we come across, that we may become doubtful, we may become discouraged, we may for a time lose hope, but God through His Holy Spirit comes. God in His grace comes and encourages us. God through His people comes and convicts us. And then we get back on the pathway of righteousness and we seek Him. But if there is none of that, and you return for counsel and counsel and counsel and counsel, and we give you the Word, and we give you the Word, we give you the Word, and nothing seems to be changing, we're going to point to your heart. We're going to say something's wrong. Some people, some true Christians, true believers, those who are truly born again, they remain in a continuous state because they forsake the one and only spiritual strength for their soul, and that's the Word of God. The Word of God in prayer, they neglect these spiritual duties that are recorded here in this verse. As David encouraged himself in the Lord, he would remind himself of God's goodness. He would remind himself of the character of God, of the Word of God. These people who remain in a continuous state of distress do not daily encourage themselves in the Lord as they ought to do. And do you see, this is a daily duty for all God's people. You must have a time in the day where you seek God's face through prayer and through His Word. And we should not wonder why men are tossed to and fro in discouragement when they forsake the Word of God. And many people at times call the church office, they call the pastoral staff or the deacons to seek wisdom and help regarding a wide variety, a wide range of various issues that hit in their life. And many times as the person in counseling pours out their heart, they pour out their distress to the counselor and they're describing the discouraging situation. The pastor many times after hearing their heart and after being burdened for them will say something like this: how was your walk with God? Tell me, how much time are you spending in God's Word? How is your prayer life? I've noticed you haven't been to church for quite some time. And many times what happens after the counselor, be it a pastor, be it a deacon, be it an older, faithful, wise couple, and after they say this, and after they question you, there's sometimes a holy hush. And you can tell that the one being counseled doesn't like what you're saying. And they were hoping that the counselor would join in on their gossip and point the finger. But when the counselor is pointing them back to the Lord and say, how is your soul? How are you handling in this? Understand, God is sovereign. He works all things out for the believer's good. And though Satan may be tempting, understand that God is sovereign even over Satan. And it's God that's sending this across your path. So how are you responding to God's will? And listen, we only do that because we love you. And we only do that because we understand that man's help is secondary to the Lord's help. See it. David did not run to men. He ran to God. The greatest source of help and strength. The greatest blessing a pastor or a leader or a spiritual shepherd can do for you through times of distress is point you back to God. And he is a false shepherd, and he is a false counselor who just joins in on your pity party and says, "Oh, woe is you." And David drew nigh to the Lord. And notice the Lord and drew nigh to him. David's condition, what was it? He was distressed, greatly distressed. David's comfort, where was it found? In the Lord, his God. And thirdly, I want you to see this. David's commendation. Now, it's not recorded here in 1 Samuel chapter 30, but it is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and in Acts chapter 13. And it's this phrase, God records of David's life that David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man who obeyed the will of God. What an honor that from the lips of God Almighty, he should declare, "See this man, David? He's a man after my own heart. He's a man who seeks my face, despite the circumstances." That God Almighty should give such a compliment to one of his servants to be called a man after God's own heart. And why was David commended by God in such a way? It's because he sought God. He passionately pursued after God all the days of his life and through all circumstances of life. And listen, don't be so deceived to think that David passionately sought the Lord through prayer and through the Word by wearing a business suit, sitting in a church office with coffee in hand and a theology book in one hand and the Bible in another. See where David is, seeking the Lord. He's running for his life from King Saul. And later he would run for his life from his own son. If you think David was just sitting in a lazy boy chair, reading all the theology books, all the Christian literature that he could, seeking the face of God, praying 12 hours a day on his couch and in his comfort, you're wrong. He lived in the wilderness. He was abiding in caves. And through that time, he's crying out to the Lord. Through that time, he's praising the Lord and rejoicing in the Lord, his rock, his joy, and his salvation. Tell me, have you been like David? Looks like you've had a bath this morning. Looks like you've taken a shower. Looks like you've had a warm home to sleep in over the night. I don't see any of you like David this morning. What am I doing? I'm telling you. And though you may be going through hard and difficult times, God used David's life to teach us that we certainly can, by the strength and help of the Spirit of God, seek God even through our distress. Much of his life, read the book of Psalms from beginning to end and understand the context of the Psalms as you read them. And David went running. David went trying to keep his life safe. And yet God was the anchor of his soul. And yet God was the light of his countenance. God was his hope. God was his life. God was his refuge. God was his strength. And as we read this morning, David cries out, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and he heard me." As the hart, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, O soul, Lord, my soul longeth after thee. When did he write that? When did he pray that? When did he say that? During times of great distress. If God were to give a summary of your life in a short phrase, for David, it was that he was a man after God's own heart, and all Christians know him by this. But what about you? But what about your life? If God were to record your life for people in centuries to come, in a short phrase, what would it be? Could it be the same? Answer. Think about it honestly. Think about what consumes your time, what consumes your heart. Think of what your mind is fixed on throughout the day. And honestly answer that question. What is it, if God could give a phrase, a summary of your life throughout the days, throughout the months, and throughout the years, what would it be? And perhaps for some of you that is a depressing thing to think about. And perhaps the Holy Spirit is bringing conviction to your heart even now. And you know you're wasting your time. You're not seeking God as you ought. You're not encouraging yourself and the Lord even through the discouragements of this life. But you can. You can pull yourself out of this pit and seek the Lord once again. See, all the others, they chose to remain bitter and discouraged. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. What is the cause of your distress this morning? Oh, if we could all, one by one, come up here and give testimony. Here's what I'm going through. Here's what I'm going through. We might all weep and cry until we have nothing to weep left. But then we could point to the greatest source of comfort and help and strength, and that's in God. And I ask you, are you encouraging yourself in God on a daily basis? Do you have time where you open up the Word of God and you cry out, Lord, open thou mine eyes. O Lord, teach me thy will. Unite my heart to fear thy name. And do you truly have a prayer closet where you seek after God and you seek His will? Don't put on a show. Don't put on a religious show before others. Truly, this is for your soul's benefit. Do you? And understand this, discouraged saints. God can bring light out of darkness. God can give hope, even in hopeless circumstances. God can bring good out of evil. And we know that all things work together for good, for your good, for your spiritual good. God's working all things out for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His will. The question is, do you believe that? And the good is not a prosperity good. It's not that God is going to give you what you want, when you want, how you want it, whenever you want it. It's that God, read the context, is going to conform you more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ as you trust in Him, as you wait upon Him, as you seek Him, as you obey Him. What are you distressed about this morning? And what are you relying on for hope and strength? Is it the things of this life? The comforts of this world? You're trying to drink down the water that this world has, and yet you remain thirsty still. Lean on the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You need to, by faith, trust that God is there, and that He is your God, and that He will help if you cry out to Him. And then if God were to give you a summary of your life in a short phrase, what would it be? Would it be a man or woman after God's own heart? Would it be an individual who obeyed the Word of God? Or was it one who rode the fence? He was in church sometimes, out of church others. Sometimes he walked with the Lord, sometimes not. Sometimes he seemed spiritual, other times he seemed like a monster. What is the reality? This is David's commendation. David was commended by the lips of Almighty God. And God knows the truth, and you know the truth. And we should want to hear those words one day when we stand before the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good, thou righteous, thou holy and faithful servant. Are you being faithful to the things of the Lord? David's condition, distress. David's comfort, the Lord. But see, throughout all of his life, God chose to record for us that David was a man after God's own heart. And so I end by encouraging you all this morning to seek God with all of your heart. Seek God afresh and anew. Seek God through the distresses of your life. Encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Encourage yourself in the Word of God. And join David by tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. And join me in prayer. Father, I pray that you would now take your word and that you would speak to the hearts of those who are here. And take your word and sanctify us. And remind us of our duties. Oh Lord, we cry out to you for mercy and for forgiveness and for not encouraging ourselves in you as we ought to. Please, Lord, I pray that you would even now set our hearts to seek your face. Help us to seek you and your kingdom first and foremost, even through the raging storms of life. Lord, comfort your people through the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. I pray that your will would be done. I pray that Christians would truly, honestly consider the truths that have been spoken. And I pray that you would be exalted. In Jesus' name, amen.